7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I won't hold you too long tonight. I don't have a whole lot to say right now, but maybe we'll get into it. The Lord may give us a whole lot. And so let's study the Word of God together. In the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now remember last week we spoke on marriage. Brought you a message along that line about marriage. And the missions will get it another week or so. The tape families. I thought it was very interesting. Myself, for my own instructions, my own family. You know, the Word of God has everything for us. Everything that we need, if you only take time to read it. And let the Holy Spirit instruct you. Life would be much happier for the average home today if they'd only take time out to seek the Lord and His Word and find out what God has there for their particular situation, for the man, the woman, and the children. We would have much happier homes than we have. But when you leave the Word of God alone and go along your own self and trying to straighten things out, and it doesn't do too good. It's not too good, especially we who are under the preaching of the gospel and who know the truth. Now, I grant you that there are many homes, and praise the Lord for them, that are getting along very well. Many homes of people that do not even know anything about the Lord. And it's a pleasure to go to their homes. But on the other side, you've got individuals who do know the Lord. And how the home is torn, just in strife all the time, and torn up. I don't like to go into homes like that. I don't feel right at all. I like to go in a home there where there's love. Love one for the other, where the children are obedient. I just don't like to go home where they got children that are always fuming and fighting and fussing and wanting to have their own way. The mother and dad cannot control them. No, I cannot do that. I don't like to go in homes like that. I know I had a lady to call me up some time ago, about 2 weeks ago. Wanted me to come to her house. In the background, I could hear the children screaming, the radio, the TV going wild, and everything else. And I said, how urgent is it for me to come over? Well, I have a problem, and I'd like to discuss it with you. And I don't see how in the world I could have ever discussed anything in a home like that. But I told her, I said, now what you need is to look to the Lord, turn to Him, and I'll be praying for you. I said, now I'll pray for you, and I want you to pray also. And I asked her, I said, would you think that is sufficient? Would you like me to pray for you? And she said, well, that sounds pretty good. I said, well, I certainly will. I'll be praying for you. For you and your home. And at the same time, you pray and you straighten up things. Get things straightened up between you and the Lord. Well, I haven't heard from her since then. Now, let us begin reading in the 7th chapter here, the first verse of our lesson tonight. It's just a study. It's no preaching. Just study. Good Christian learning here for us. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. You know, it's strange to bring studies along this line in an assembly here of mixed people, boys and girls and husbands and wives, but I don't know of any other place to bring it. And I think we all understand one another, and we all got a little sense, I believe, to know what the Apostle Paul is writing here for our instructions. It suits every one of us. And it's getting right down to earth, right down to where we live, both husband and wife and children. And for widows, virgins, it has a message here for everyone. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. It bothered them in the early Christian church in Corinth as it does us today. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Now, we spoke a lot about fornication, didn't we, in the previous chapter, in the previous two chapters. And for those who continually practice it, because no fornicator shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. And nevertheless, to avoid fornication, in other words, if an individual cannot contain themselves, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And then we also spoke along the line, but marry in the Lord. Seek God's face for your mate. Seek him. Let him lead you to get the proper mate for you. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment, although the whole thing is inspired. For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. There's gracious readings, scriptures there. I would I knew how to teach a lesson like this. And then again, the Lord has given us enough to dwell on and to learn from. Glad to see that we do have married couples here tonight. We have the children sitting in with us. And let's look just a little bit now at that fourth verse. We read that scripture previously to the message of last Sunday night, and now let's look at that fourth verse. The fourth. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Now, what does this scripture teach? What does it teach? Well, I know Brother Pettigrew and Mrs. Pettigrew have been married how many years? 49. It's been very sweet, hasn't it? And that's grace. Just as they have them in our homes yesterday and spend the day with us and just to see how they even spoke love one another in our home there. And with the thoughts one towards another. I praise the Lord. And you see, that home is centered, Christ is the center of that home. And he makes the difference in the home. Let's begin with Christ, with him. Get off on the right footing, as it were. Find the right mate, a good one. Don't look for beauty alone. No, don't look for beauty alone, because sometimes beauty is mighty, is betraying, you might say. But look for the beauty of the heart. Look in that. That's why courtship is wonderful. Now, my wife and I, we didn't court one another too long, probably less time than any of you is here. But I praise the Lord for us, and she praises the Lord for me, and our love one for another grows stronger day by day. We recognize that we belong to each other, and both of us belong to the Lord. Now, you see, that's the difference. And the wife hath not power. Now, let me read that again. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Now, this scripture teaches. Now, I know we'll be mighty frank and sound in some statements here tonight, but don't misunderstand me. This scripture teaches that both wife and husband are to be sure that they pay due regard to one another's conjugal rights. Now, I'm talking plain English. Some of you may not know what I'm talking about, but you will. I think most of you do. In other words, each possesses a legitimate claim upon the body of the other and has a right to its enjoyment, one another's enjoyment. The wife belongs to the husband belongs to the wife. They're one. They each possess a legitimate claim upon the body of the other. And they both have a right to its enjoyment, one of another. Now, the equal rights of husband and wife in the scriptures are everywhere maintained. And they are to regard themselves as united in the most intimate union and in most tender ties, one of another. Now, that's what the Apostle Paul is setting forth here. Now, it may be asked, now, why the Apostle places them on equal footing here, in this particular sense? And does not demand obedience and subjection from the wife? Well, the answer is that he did not intend to discuss all of their duties, but only the mutual obligation, now listen to this, which is concerned with intercourse between both of them. Now that's what he's discussing here. Now you get it again and repeat it. Now, it may be asked why the apostle places them on equal footing and does not demand obedience and subjection from the wife. And the answer is that he did not intend to discuss all their duties, but only the mutual obligation which is concerned with intercourse. Husband and wife, therefore, have different rights and duties in other things. But in the preservation of marriage, they are on equal footing. Now, I want you to look at that fifth verse. Listen to it. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now, what does that word defraud mean? It means to deprive of a right or property by fraud. Defraud ye not one the other. Now, what the apostle forbids is the willful refusal of intercourse when the other desires it. Now I'm putting it down plain to where you can understand it, that you will not go wrong in your marriage life, in your married life, where perhaps many have. And if you're beginning to think about marriage, you get things straightened up in your heart and your mind. It must have a good beginning if it's going to last. Husband and wife should not defraud one another of the use of their bodies, nor any other of the comforts of the marriage state that is appointed of God for keeping the vessel in sanctification, honor, and preventing the lust of uncleanness. Now that's what marriage is meant for, to prevent uncleanness, fornication. I just wonder, when you think along this line, how many homes are wrecked because the woman will not give herself unto her husband, or the husband will not give herself unto the woman. And then in the period of time, you'll find that woman wanting to go running around with her husband or the man. And that shouldn't be. Now, I got to thinking about something this evening. I remember when, Glenn doesn't know I'm saying this. But I remember when Glenn and his wife, when they first married, went over to Mexico. He's got a lovely wife, lovely little daughter, and brought her here in this country. And he used to work out on the ship at sea. It was distasteful, you might say, in the eyes of the wife of Esperanza. And I know when he brought her back to America here, that grieved me deeply to see him having to leave her, just being married, going out to sea for a few days, staying out there, and here she pining her heart away, longing for him. And I know I was down at the parsonage one day. I got to talking with the pastor about that. We didn't know how to handle it. To bring those two together to where they can stay. They love one another. They still do, and I praise the Lord for it. And the pastor mentioned, he said, he shouldn't be out there and her here. He may make less money, but his proper place is right here with his wife. And so we got to look into the Lord and trusting him to open a way for our son to work in the office down here, brought in on land. The Lord heard the prayer, and he got to open a position for him in McDermott now. He's got a good job. And you should the difference it made between the two. Then he was able to be with her every night. Her with him. And that tie between them has been growing stronger and stronger. But I tell you, when I think of individuals whose job is sailing the seas and away from the wife for 2 and 3 and 4 months at a time, it grieves me. I don't see how in the world I could stay away from my wife one night or two nights. And sometimes I used to have to when I'd go down to the missions and all. But I cannot understand that, how a man can stay away from his wife for 2 or 3 months because of the money situation. I'd rather be here and make less and be home with my wife or my family every night and enjoy the married life one with another. Enjoy one another. I'd rather make less. What good is making a whole lot of money and then you're depriving yourself of the enjoyment between one another? And it just doesn't look right to me. And I believe the Bible is against that separation, that type of separation altogether. We're going to see that as we go down further. I thought I would inject that. And if any of you have any husbands that's living apart like that for 2 and 3 months at a time, you don't see her, you look to the Lord and you cry unto the Lord to open a way for your husband to be with you. And he could be with you night and day and in your home and help you to raise those children. Forget about the money. That's more important than being one with another. I'd rather make $75 a week right here in the city or somewhere than to be out on sea for 2 or 3 months making $300 and $400 a month. Whether was that gonna or $700 or $800? Some of them make $1,000. I'm just above $1,000 a month. But to know that I'm home with my wife every night, and with those children, and they're not strangers to me when I come in from a distance. Defraud ye not one the other. Now we're going into it. Now what the Apostle Paul forbids is the willful refusal. Now listen, we're getting on a subject here. What the Apostle forbids is the willful refusal of intercourse when the other desires it. There's the temptation there. It's in every one of us. There's the temptation. Husband and wife should not defraud one another of the use of their bodies, nor any other of the comforts of the marriage state that is appointed of God for keeping the vessel in sanctification, honor, and preventing the lust of uncleanness. Now there are those who have sought to impress the idea that in order to serve the Lord better, husbands and wives should live entirely apart one from the other. The apostle says that to attempt such a life as that is only to place yourself in a position of great temptation, and therefore is not only unwise, but is thoroughly opposed to the divine institution of marriage. And then we'll go on in that verse of scripture, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time. That's in that fifth verse, isn't it? Listen at it. Except it be with consent for a time, or except it be with mutual agreement. That is, both parties are agreed upon it so that the rights of both parties are preserved. And it must only be for a time, a short period of time, which means it should only be done temporarily. Since continuous continency, and that word continency means self-restraint, especially in regard to sexual passion. Now, let me repeat that again. It should only be for a time, which means it should only be done temporarily, since continuous continency is not in their power. Now, they are not to abstain from intercourse as if that abstinence were in itself a good and a holy work, or as if it were a means of worshiping God. But for what purpose? But in order that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Now, there are times, I tell you, I read the newspaper quite a bit. And it does happen to where a wife will not give herself unto her husband for the purpose of enjoying one another unless she is able to get what she pleases. Now that's taking place. When she gets what she wants, if she can get something out of her husband, then she'll give herself to him. But unless she does get her way, she'll withhold herself from him, from enjoying that which is proper and according to the Word of God. Now that's done every day, and that's what's causing many homes to go on the rock today, and many separations. And men and women are seeing pastures that are much greener on the other side. Now, when a wife willfully she willfully resists her husband, when he's in need of her and desires her because of this and that, that's contrary to the Word of God. That shows actual rebellion in the heart against her husband. Remember, as we go back to that scripture again, the wife hath not power of her own body, but that body belongs to her husband. And likewise also the husband not power of his own body, but the wife, and the husband's wife belongs to the wife, body belongs to the wife. And God brought them together for that purpose. And that they'll agree on things concerning their happiness and their joy. But there is an exception here, as we just read. But it must be with consent to withhold themselves. It must be consent on both parts. Both, it would be a mutual agreement. You must understand one another, especially if you're saved, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Now, the moderation, which ought to be a constant everyday feature of the lives of believers, is one kind of fasting every day. Now, the apostle's not talking about that type of fasting. Now, I want us to turn to 1 Thessalonians in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and begin reading with the first verse. Listen, it's the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now he's talking about the moderation here of every believer. Listen. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know that not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now look at the 5th chapter in the 22nd verse of that same epistle. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now this is an everyday feature of the believer's life. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Then if you turn to 1 Peter, turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Prayer, talking about fasting and prayer here now, prayer ought to be made not only daily, but also continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. And then if you look at 1 Thessalonians, the 25th verse again, we'll find something else here. Let's see. The 25th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Brethren, pray for us. Now, this is a constant, everyday feature of the believer's life. Now, Paul, then we have other scriptures here, but you can look them up if you want to. Matthew 26:41, that tells us to pray constantly, pray without ceasing. Mark 18:1, Colossians 1:9, James, the 5th chapter, 13th through the 16th verse. Now, let me repeat that again. The moderation, which ought to be a constant everyday feature of the lives of believers, that's one kind of fasting that's continuous. Praying and fasting. Now, but Paul is speaking of that kind of fasting that requires abstinence from lawful pleasures that prepare believers for prayer before undertaking some serious affair. Prayer, which requires a greater and a more concentrated effort. Have you ever been in that particular place or brought to that place by the Holy Spirit to where nothing pleased you, nothing mattered with you? Just to get along with the Lord. Now let me repeat that scripture again. Accept it, be consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. But on either part, the husband and wife, there's understanding there, you see. There's a mutual agreement, a mutual consent. And they both understand the reasons of why you have taken this time to set yourself apart in prayer, in fasting. Now, I've been in that place many a time that nothing else mattered. Pleasures fled from me. I didn't care about nothing else but just to look to the Lord, except especially this last week under such a strain here, looking unto the Lord for this work, for this ministry, and then to know how Satan is attacking us from different quarters, inside and outside, and trying to pull the wool over our eyes. Now, there may come times when it is necessary for us to drop everything else in order to fast and pray and get alone with the Lord. We may be struggling with some great difficulty, or when something very important has to be carried out, or perhaps we're heavily burdened for lost souls. Our souls are moved to special devotion towards God. And this is the only exception in the Word of God that speaks of being separated. And that will be only for a short while, because God knows the human frame. I praise Him for it. He knows the human frame. He knows our incontinency. He knows how we are possessed with passions. And the remedy that He has given to avoid us to go out sinning, fornication, the power to resist. Now, I want us to turn to Matthew, the 17th chapter, in regards to that statement I just made. The 17th chapter, the 14th verse, listen to it. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. Now here was a man pleading for his son. And you can imagine how grieved he was for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now listen to that 21st verse. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Oh, many times we labor, don't we? And we see that everything avails us nothing. And then there are other means that God leads us into, prayers and fasting. I imagine there's every home represented here tonight that have lost children, lost loved ones. And there comes a time when you get so burdened for them that you don't feel like you want to eat or want to be bothered by anyone, anything, any pleasures whatsoever, and just to get alone with the Lord and seek his mercy and grace for your children. And then you have an understanding wife there, or understanding husband. How sweet to understand you. And many times that occurs in my life. Now, that's the only exception that God gives us in his word. No other exception. Just with mutual consent, just for a little while. And that's the reason why the Bible speaks. The Bible is plain about those who go off for days and weeks and months. Because by doing that, they are allowing temptations to come into their lives. But only with mutual consent, give ourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come back together again. Even by mutual consent, the apostle would not have this separation to go on indefinitely, since it would expose them to many of the evils which the marriage relation was designed to avoid. And that's true. Well, you say, well, I can escape that. I have the power over that. And I'm a man, I'll make myself a man, I have strength to overcome. Oh, yes? Well, without the grace of God, you have no power to overcome. Because every one of us are subject like compassions as one with another. We're all humans here, except for the restraining grace of God. And that's the only reason why that we're able to keep ourselves. That's the only reason why the Apostle Paul was able to keep himself. Because he said later on down there in that seventh chapter, he said, I say therefore to the unmarried widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I. You see, grace triumphing in his life, broke his every power, restrained him from everything like that. broke every desire in his heart. But that doesn't mean that it happens in every individual's life. And so, therefore, if you cannot contain yourself, get married. And be sure that you marry the right mate, and be sure that you stay with your wife and your husband. You stay there. Now, let me repeat this again. The limitation of their abstinence to a definite period includes two objects: that they might have leisure for prayer is one, and they might be united again, one with another. The reason for this is that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. The word incontinency, I just gave that to you, it means lacking in restraint, especially over the sexual appetite. And that's what that word incontinency means. That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now, the weakness of our flesh exposes us to the temptations of Satan. If we want to drive temptations out and keep them out, our proper course of action is to apply the remedy which the Lord has given for our protection. And that's what I spoke on tonight. The proper remedy to keep temptations out. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, be obedient unto your husband. Be in subjection unto them in all things. I'm talking to a saved wife and a saved husband. They understand what I'm talking about. Or if you want to be saved, and we brought that out last week along the course of marriage, it doesn't mean that a husband has to lord it over his wife, especially if he's unsaved, and drag his wife into all types of sin, pleasures that she doesn't care for. And she can resist on the grounds of God's word. When it leads to sin against God, against light, against his truth, against her convictions. But be sure your convictions are of the Lord and according to his word. But this is a gracious study here. Now, I didn't bring out everything. I left quite a bit out, I guess. But I wonder if you did understand some of the things. I wonder if it was clear to you. You young people who are contemplating marriage. Someday you'll marry. Oh, but get it all clear in your mind right now that you won't go. You'll get started on the right footing. And then you'll stay right there with the Word of God. And abide by its teachings. And what a happy life it'll bring to you. Well, I come to the end of the study tonight. The seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians. Got down through that fifth verse. Begin with the sixth next Sunday night. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as myself, the Apostle Paul said. Now, the Apostle Paul knew the grace of God and its power. And he said, I'm able to contain myself. I'm able to know how to live in this body by the grace of God. Gives God all the glory, his grace. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. And I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Now we'll continue this next Sunday night. May the Lord's blessings rest upon his word. I hope I've helped you somewhat tonight. And we experience a lot of these things through life in marriage. The Lord has to straighten up our lives, many misunderstandings. But if you trust him, He certainly will. Make the home over, our lives over, the children over. You trust the Lord. Look to Him. Well, I'm glad you came. Glad that you listen in Radio Land, your tapes. God bless you. And you continue to pray for us, for this work, for these studies, that they'll be clear in every one of our hearts. We'll speak, thus saith the Lord, and trust the Holy Spirit to make it effectual in every heart. Let's stand. I'm glad you came. It's 8:30. Our dear Heavenly Father, tonight we want to thank Thee for this study. And may we go back and read it over and over again. And our Father, oh, be with our homes. Be with every father and mother, every husband and wife. Be with the children of each and every home. Our Father, we just trust them all in Your hands. Thy will be done. Bless Thy word. We'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory. Guide us as we make our way back to our homes. You protect us. In Christ's name we ask it and for His sake. Amen.